You're listening to Beyond the Chart, where we go off the record with Baton Rouge General's medical elite. I'm your host, Brogan Taj. Let's get charting. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Chart. It's your host, Brogan, and I have a question for you. Do you ever experience burnout? If the answer is yes, then keep listening. I've got Dr. Rachel Kermes here with me today. She's one of our Baton Rouge General Physicians and Chief of Outpatient Family Medicine. She's here to spark up a conversation about burning out. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Kermes. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Brogan. I appreciate it.
No problem. You want to just jump right in?
Let's go for it. Definitely.
Right. So go ahead and tell me a little bit more about yourself. How'd you get into family medicine?
So I always thought I was going to be an ER doc. I loved the excitement. I was an EMT for years. And then I did my rotations of emergency medicine and residency in med school. And I was like, oh, no, this is not for me, because so many people were coming into the ER because they didn't have good primary care docs. So I ended up doing a rotation here in med school. I fell in love with it, fell in love with Louisiana. And the rest is history. And I've been here being a family med doc now. I'm going on my 6th year here.
Awesome. So I know you have a lot of passions that extend practicing family medicine. You want to tell me a little bit more about those?
So I definitely pride myself on making sure we incorporate mental health into any time someone comes in for an office visit. We have something called a review of systems, where we mm-hmm. go through and make sure there's nothing else going on that might be bothering the patient that they might have not felt comfortable bringing up. And I make sure I ask everyone, are they feeling anxious? Are they feeling depressed? Are they having problems sleeping? Because sometimes just bringing that up in the room gives people that safe place to mm-hmm. kind of say, okay, I can actually talk about this. I don't have to keep pretending everything's okay. Yeah. That's a safe place. So definitely I'm really, really passionate about the mental health, because I think if we don't have that, we don't have a lot for physical health. Mm-hmm. And they kind of two and two go together, where if we don't have one, the other one's going to be really hard to get right. So definitely that's something I'm pretty passionate about within my office.
Yeah. So kind of on that same vein, burnout is one and the same with mental health. So do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Correct. So, I mean, everyone who's in healthcare now knows mm-hmm. we've been dealing with this lovely COVID pandemic for quite some time now. And I think we kind of had a brief reprieve about a month ago, where we could not wear masks. It was mm-hmm. great. I was excited because I could finally see my patients' faces. And I was like, oh, yeah. My gosh, this is what you look like. This is awesome. And then, unfortunately, Omicron came through and it's kind of wreaked more havoc, where we're seeing a lot more people get sick. And I think everyone's tired of this marathon that we're running. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of hoping vaccines were going to be this wonderful save-all. And now we're mm-hmm. seeing some people are potentially getting sick with the vaccine. So mm-hmm. I think burnout within the healthcare field is definitely a big concern right now, mainly because we've been running a marathon against this annoying COVID for almost 2 years.
So, what exactly is burnout?
So burnout is basically where you kind of lose touch with your humanity aspect. So a lot of times when you ask someone, why did you go into medicine? Why did you choose being in the healthcare field? They're going to say, I wanted to help people. I wanted to give back. I wanted to kind of make a difference. And a lot of it kind of depends on people having empathy for others. And right now we can kind of see people are getting a little more short-tempered. They're kind of having less patience. They're less willing to kind of go that extra mile just because they're tired. They're physically, mm-hmm. Mentally exhausted. And sometimes I notice people make jokes where it's maybe a little bit of a kind of more risque joke, where you wouldn't be laughing about it if you were kind of in a full, strong mental capacity. But we're doing that now as more coping skills. Mm-hmm. Or people get really short-tempered of, okay, my pen just ran out of ink and it's the end of the world. I'm going to have a terrible day now. And that's partially because our mental reserve is tapped out.
So the main source of burnout usually comes from the workplace. That's what,
Yeah, so kind of the workplace, but then also our normal coping skills mm-hmm. are kind of out right now. So people go on trips. We go out and hang out with friends. That's a big part of being a human being, is that social aspect, which unfortunately with COVID we kind of can't do, or we have to do it in certain precautions in place where it's not just, oh, let me go out and do this. There's a lot of forethought that has to go into it. So not only are we being asked to stay really committed to a wonderful job, albeit emotionally draining job, our normal coping skills are not quite what they used to be.
So this is a lot about burnout in the medical field, but are other
definitely
other people feeling burnt out in other fields and stuff.
A lot of teachers are, a lot of people who are kind of those frontline workers at restaurants, at grocery stores, just because they're out in the public having to interact with people who sometimes, as this goes on and on, where you get less and less nice to our fellow human beings, and that just perpetuates that feeling of being burnt out.
And like a year ago, or I guess, you know, beginning of the pandemic, everybody, every doctor, medical field, teacher, everybody's a hero.
Exactly.
And now here we are.
And now I think the hero thing has kind of come and gone, where I mean, I had one patient when I was on call being like, well, it's the pandemic. Y'all should be open all weekend now because people need access. And I think people are forgetting that, yes, we want to give the best care we can, but we're still humans within the healthcare field, that we need to take time to recharge. And we can't be on 24/7 because that just leads to more and more of the just mental fatigue. So I think it's a lot more of people want easy access, and not a bad thing to have, but we want to have it with realistic expectations on it.
So what are some tips for anybody dealing with burnout, whether in the medical field, you know, all of the, I'm pretty sure in one way or another, most people are feeling burnout in some capacity.
Yes. I think the big thing is to realize, like, we're not alone in it. Unfortunately, there's still a lot of mental health stigma where people think that they don't deserve help unless they're to the point of almost being suicidal or needing to go into the hospital. But that's not true. If you're kind of not living your best version of your life and you're having issues come up, then we want to help you live a better normal, quote unquote. So realize you're not alone. Realize there's people out there who are more than willing to help. I know we have some great resources here at Baton Rouge General, where we have the employee well-being program. We have Neil, who's one of the counselors, and he posts these great posts on our employee Facebook page. And I know I look at them and I'm like, oh yes, the Motivational Monday is out. And kind of like using those tools. And then I like write little reminders of, well, why did I go into medicine? Why did I choose this? And if I feel like I have this light bulb moment of being like, yes, this is why I did it, I write it down in a little notebook. I have letters from my patients, and I will go back and look at those as a little reminder of, okay, this might be a bad day, but it too shall pass. And I've been able to make a difference, and that calling of why I chose medicine is still there. I can still do it. And I can't just lose sight of this never ending or feeling like it's a never-ending COVID situation.
For sure. So if somebody thinks they might be feeling burnout, what should they start doing?
I think definitely taking time for self-care. So when we kind of realize we're maybe not caring for that patient as much as we had been in the past, or we're kind of so exhausted we might be making more careless mistakes or kind of cutting corners, we got to do something about it. And a whole bunch of things we could do, starting from sometimes just like going for a walk outside, seeing the sunshine. Like, I walked over here today because I needed to reset and be like, oh, it's not freezing cold anymore. It's still nice. And sometimes reading a book, going, getting your nails done, taking a walk, something to get yourself kind of out of that moment and do a little more practicing like mindfulness, where we're not just stuck on what feels like Groundhog Day. And then also kind of what I had mentioned before of keeping track of like what is good in life and kind of looking back and using that as a positive reminder.
Because hopefully we won't always be here.
No.
It feels like it.
No. And again, we are in it together. I know that's kind of cliche at this point in time. All the commercials like to say that. But talking to all the experts and stuff, it's definitely kind of reassuring the way the path is going right now. And I think people need to realize, well, do I truly like not like my job right now? Or is it potentially the stress from COVID interacting with it? So I'm like, don't make a rash decision now with COVID. We got to kind of recenter, reevaluate, and use that and take that time to make sure we're not just making a sudden decision because of a bad circumstance.
So you're saying don't quit your job because of burnout right now?
No, no. Please don't. We have, again, there's a lot of excellent things we have. And I think just bringing it and making it okay to talk about is good, because I think a lot of people are feeling it, but they're scared to bring it up because they don't want to seem like the one who's always complaining, or like they're the one person out who's struggling right now. And I think if we kind of realize that we really are in this together, it's going to take a team approach, supporting each other.
And it's always good to talk to somebody who's not also like in the same, like talk to somebody else, talk to your doctor, talk to you know, somebody else, somebody who's going through, you know, that's just kind of two people talking about the same thing and you're going to get further stuck.
Exactly. We don't want to like feed off of each other. So that's why like I like to tell people, I'm like, social workers are great because they're trained to be neutral and help you realize what you need to do to help yourself. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, me as a physician, I like to fix things. Yeah. Family members, friends, we all like to fix things for people if they're suffering, which isn't what we need. We need to kind of work within ourselves and kind of get that right, which is why talking to a therapist can make such a big difference with it. Mm-hmm. And also there's a time and a place where sometimes we need to be on medications. And I like to remind people in my clinic that it's as much of a medical problem as like hypertension and diabetes when we have anxiety and depression. So you deserve it to be treated and taken as seriously as what we do with hypertensive and diabetics.
Have you seen a lot more anxiety and depression in patients in the past 2 years?
Yes, I definitely think so. And I think originally it was kind of the teachers coming in, and now I see more and more of like healthcare providers and workers come in. And I think a lot of times they'll leave, and just having had a safe place to talk about it, you can kind of tell that some of that weight has lifted. Mm-hmm. So I think if someone comes up and approaches you as a coworker, as a friend, just kind of give them that safe place. Don't say, well, just kind of suck it up and you'll feel better. Because that's not necessarily what they need to hear. It's just sometimes being a venting sounding board and then kind of directing them where to go for it.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to see like long-term mental health issues from this pandemic?
So, I mean,
it's kind of a loaded question, I know.
I'm definitely concerned about it, and some of the reports and kind of analysis by some of the psychologists or psychiatrists out there, there's concern about PTSD because it is kind of this repetitive traumatic experience where we don't know when it's going to end. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to be like all doom and gloom on this, but it's something that if you're feeling a certain way, you have the right to feel that way right now. And I don't want people thinking there's something wrong with them because they are. And again, like years from now, we might, I think everyone, when we hear a cough, we're going to be like, oh no, stay away. Yeah. Please don't come near me. And that's something that's just going to take time to get over. It'll be an adventure definitely to see like how everything plays out. But I think mainly just focus on kind of being there for each other. And one of the reasons I loved Louisiana so much was we have such a good, like, sense of community. Mm-hmm. And when you say, like, good morning to people in the hospital or hello, like, they really want to know how you're doing. They want to kind of talk with you. And that's what made me decide to stay down here is from New York. If we say hello to people or good morning, it's a sign of weakness. And you're trying to get something from that person. But I think kind of that sense of community is what's going to help us be resilient and help us keep kind of getting through this and adapting for whatever next obstacles thrown at us.
Awesome. You want to talk about something a little more light?
Yes.
Okay. So that brings me to my first rapid fire question. Yes. You want to start these?
Sure.
Are you a dog person or a cat person?
Oh my gosh. Obviously a dog person. Loved it. Love them.
Do you have a dog?
I do. Her name's Miss Watson.
What kind of dog?
She is a sheep-a-doodle. So I love panda bears.
Okay.
She's black and white and as close as I could get to legally owning a panda bear without breaking tons of international rules.
That's sweet. What is your New Year's resolution?
To not have New Year's resolutions.
Okay.
Because I'm just focusing on being more present in the moment and not setting goals. I just want to get through each day and be happy and focus on those little things.
Awesome. I love that. So do you prefer living in the North or the South?
Oh, definitely the South.
Okay.
120 gazillion percent the South. I get cold at 50 degrees now and I complain. So back home in Buffalo, definitely a Southerner.
Awesome. Yes. What advice would you give to somebody going through med school right now?
It's so worth it. It's so worth it. You really get a chance to make a difference in people's lives. And I would choose it every day. Every day I would choose it again.
I'm sure it's hard right now if people who have been in med school who like started, they've been in med school through a whole pandemic.
Yeah. Like, so I think also like kind of just realizing you will eventually see a person as a patient. It's not going to be virtual for the rest of your life. And just treat your patients with respect, and they know themselves more than we do. So if a patient says something's wrong, we got to kind of do our due diligence to look it up.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you could only watch one movie for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, dear. Oh, that's a hard one. And just one movie. It can't be a series.
All right, I'll give you a series.
Okay. I would probably do Lord of the Rings. It's okay. Our Christmas movie tradition in the Kermit's household.
All right.
We've done it every Christmas since they came out, and for some reason it just makes me think of the holidays, and it's a happy memory.
All right. A lot of people like associate Harry Potter with the holidays, too.
Exactly.
That always plays. Aren't those really long movies?
They're terribly long.
Yeah, so it does take a little while.
It would. It does. Okay. But we do a little marathon whenever I go back home at Christmas, and my mom is just obsessed with them, and I think she passed it along to my sister and I.
Oh, all right. What's your favorite restaurant in Baton Rouge?
I love Solu. I love it.
That's a good one.
It's really cute. The food is delicious. I love it.
Yeah, they have good drinks, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're not working, what can you be found doing on the weekends?
So right now I've been trying to read a little bit more through the library. They have these awesome books you can get free. And then I do love to bake. So in med school, didn't have a lot of money, so I would make people birthday cakes.
Yeah.
And I've kind of done that as a little relaxing thing and try to...
I love baking.
Yeah, it's awesome. I try to not eat it as much anymore. I try to share it with people.
Yeah, that's the problem. You start baking and then...
And then you're like, ooh, it tastes here, it tastes there. Yeah. And
it's
better to share the love.
Yes, absolutely. You said you read... What's the last book you read?
Last book I read was something called, it's like The Art of Being Still. It was kind of probably a boring book for most people. Stillness is the Key was the name.
Okay.
And it talks about kind of being more mindful in the moment. And it was a little bit of a self-help book, but I do recommend it for anyone.
Okay.
It's just not like a fun, like beach read type thing.
I think that's about it. Is there anything else you want our audience to know?
No, besides we're an awesome community here, and I'm extremely grateful to be a part of it. And I love when people come up and say hi to me in the hall. So feel free to ask me any questions. And definitely we're all in this together, and it's going to get better. The light is there, and we just got to keep chugging along and finding little things to be goofy and dance it out, laugh it out. Have a therapy dog and pet it out, whatever we can do.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for going beyond the chart. Follow Baton Rouge General on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for behind the scenes, upcoming episodes, and more. Feel free to subscribe and leave a review.